For December 21st, 2018, we talk about Gravity Rush 2, the Kingdom Hearts 3 leak, and we ask you what your personal game of the year was. Welcome to Level 268. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Mysmith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, Dennis.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Wait,
after all this time, I think you need to prove that you are actually Dennis. So how can you prove this?
I asked him to hold today's newspaper while he recorded. So
Okay.
My arm's getting tired. Can I put it down yet?
Okay. But keep your hand on it. That way we still know it's you.
Hard mode is the only way to play a game. How's that? Does that work?
Pretty close.
You never know when they're going to get one of those speak fakes.
That's true. Metrico is the best puzzle game. I'm pretty sure I'm the only person in the history of the world thought of that.
Okay.
It's a bold enough opinion that I believe it's you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Holidays in the November, December in particular have been just crazy busy time, but all good stuff.
Nice.
But glad that a little window opened up here. Jump back in.
Yeah.
And talk about some video games with you nerds.
You don't have to be so mean about it. So we are hot off the heels of Duckstream, which was a resounding success. We beat last year's total. We raised just a little bit over $8,000 for the Transactive Gender Center, which is fucking ridiculous.
And there is way more Greta this year than in past years.
Yes. I don't even know if Greta was... Yeah, she would have been born. She's a little bit over a year old. Oh, yeah. She was a total sweetheart. Although, she was just coming out of her heat at the time I was streaming. So there were times where she went and just yelled at a window. But for the last leg of it, she was actually pretty cool and just like her regular cuddly self, as opposed to being like really needy. People seem to really like that. For people who didn't tune in, I had a cat train a cat yep, toxoplasmosis is real. No, I had a camera trained on my cat mostly on the chair where she usually sits, but she didn't really sit there with a treat bowl there, and every certain number of dollars I gave her a new treat. I put on some music from Katamari and just got right up in her face with the camera, and whenever she was around, I just kind of like pointed that extra camera at her. So people seem to enjoy that.
I was impressed. You were able to play like Jackbox and point the camera at her and multitask. It was really nice.
Yep. Yeah. So that was a good time, and I'm so thankful. If you're listening and you gave, it's tremendous. We appreciate it.
Even the people who didn't give and just like still watched.
Oh yeah, awesome. and cheered on. Yeah. Exactly. Thankful to everybody who participated in some way or another. Thank you, Ben, for hopping on and being part of my relief crew.
That was a lot of fun, man. Yeah, I had a good time.
Yeah. Was the chat kind to you?
Yeah, they were really nice. They were trying to be helpful with puzzles that I couldn't solve and giving me hints. But it's one of those things where it's like, by the time you read the message, you've already moved around a little bit, so it's like hard to figure out where it was.
You've changed the state of the board. Yeah.
I heard there was one really belligerent guy who demanded you choose cards based on their art and stuff like that.
I know. But it made me rethink my Magic game, so I was very happy about it.
was that you?
You were the most stylish loser.
Was that you, Dennis?
Yeah, it was me.
Okay.
I was not belligerent about it. Okay. Belligerent.
Yeah. What color did you go with?
I ended up going red green.
Okay.
Like the Canadian comedy show.
Oh, I loved red green. Keep your stick on the ice. That sticks with me.
Oh yeah.
To this day.
I know something about duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you went red and you green. Fine. Go ahead.
You just sniped my childhood, by the way, Cole. Like that is a deep pull.
Oh, man, yeah.
Oh,
just random pet peeve. Duct tape. Not duct tape.
Duck is a brand, though.
I always thought
they were also the inventor.
Oh, okay.
So it was actually originally duct tape.
Okay, I'm not attached to it.
I'm sorry, I have no idea why I know that or why that It's a random pet peeve.
I have no idea why I'm so invested in people getting this right.
Yeah. I retract my statement. It made little sense.
Cole, during my stream, I fired off some party poppers every $50 in donations.
Oh, yeah?
So now I know the pain of having to clean up confetti all over your room.
How did that work with the dogs?
It was fine. There were no dogs in the house at that time. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
One of our dogs is being bred right now, so okay. She's out of the house. So
nice.
Okay. What breed is she?
A Japanese Spitz.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. So that's been my thing. Dennis, you've been traveling for work and stuff like that?
Work, and then all our families in town and big family, and holidays is like all hangouts all the time. So
yes,
just doing those rounds,
mm-hmm.
which has been fun, but very busy.
Yes.
Furia family festivities.
Furia family festivities. And, yeah. and when you've got kids, especially cute kids, everyone wants a piece of them. So,
oh, David, how about you? You've recovered from your cold.
Yes, I survived the sickness. So yeah.
That is good.
Congrats.
Yeah. That's about all I have to say about that.
You did it.
What's it like being sick in New York? That's
pretty much the same.
There's tons of there's tons of pharmacies there though. It's like every 5 feet, so you're probably fine. You just open your mouth and
Robitussin will fall in.
Yeah. Someone will squirt in Robitussin and be at demand payment.
Yeah, Dwayne Reed himself shows up and says, "Hey, you look like you needed this, buddy."
that seems probable. That passes the smell test.
Nice.
I'm trying to think. Had a bunch of holiday parties, so that's been a lot of fun. That's about it. I'm started trying to learn Haskell.
Hmm.
So.
Functional programming language, right?
Yep.
Cool.
Oh, I assumed it was a martial art.
Oh, no.
I mean,
that's
a fair assessment.
that's a very fair assessment. I've also been doing a lot of that, but no, Haskell is the programming language that wants to be a math.
Okay. Yeah. So we just a little bit of business here at the top. It's time for Toadies.
Woohoo!
Yeah, every year we do a title of the year contest just to get a sense for what title of our show you like. You may be saying, "Man, that's really self-indulgent." You're right. But you should watch social media for the link about that. We will hit you with everything we've got in terms of linking to that. And I imagine that will run until the end of the year. And then we will announce that. We will announce the result on the first episode of 2019. How's that sound?
I'm liking that.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to going back. I haven't made the list yet, but I always get a chuckle when I see those from the from the past.
Instant happy.
Yeah. Just a bunch of stuff I forgot I said and forgot you guys said. Yeah. Additionally, so we kind of got screwed a little bit on holidays for this year. This is going to be the last episode of 2018.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. So next Monday, the 24th is Christmas Eve, and Monday, the 31st is New Year's Eve. I don't know about you guys. I don't want to be sitting in front of this microphone at 8 p.m. on New Year's or Christmas Eve. just going to give you guys that heads up. So I think that's all the business that I want to put at the front here.
Is 2019 being better than 2018?
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it couldn't be worse.
It could be 2016.
I've seen the predictions on global warming. It could definitely be worse.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our funny show about games. We're all going to die.
Now that you're all warmed up, har.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get real serious. I'm going to turn my chair around. So how do you feel about doing the show, the regular kind of show with the brief and multiplayer and grind?
Let's go.
Okay, so why don't we get started with
The Brief.
The Brief, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. If there's one thing I know about this community, it is that we're all Kingdom Hearts fanatics. So Ben, what I want you to do is tell us what happened with Kingdom Hearts 3, the game I have been waiting for with bated breath.
Okay, at least it wasn't what happens in Kingdom Hearts, because I don't think anyone knows that.
But we all do. Every single listener and every single host on this network loves Kingdom Hearts.
Is that true? No. We haven't talked about this, right? Did anyone play Kingdom Hearts 2? Kingdom Hearts 2?
It's a joke that is spilled over from other shows and Twitter.
All right.
Yeah.
I actually found out about this at Duckstream over the weekend because somebody mentioned it in chat. But Kingdom Hearts 3 has been leaked. Somebody got a copy of like 30 of the games for Xbox and was offering to like sell it online. Also, like threatening to post spoilers or possibly posting spoilers. So the game's director released a tweet saying like, "Hey, please don't do that. Please like ignore spoilers if they come out." And then he also later mentioned that there was a patch for the game that has the epilogue for the game, so that to try and like dismay the person from like spoiling the game and saying like the actual ending's not even on the disc anyway, like haha.
As if the very last thing that happens in a game is the only thing that matters.
Yeah, exactly. So that's like 2 for 2 now for Nintendo in this month of like big important games being leaked. So I imagine like the idea of just doing digital only releases is probably becoming more and more appealing as time goes on.
So
I mean, they have to know that's how you do news releases now. They're just with it.
Yeah, no, it's part of the press strategy.
It's part of the building buzz for a game.
You said this was 2 times for Nintendo. Kingdom Hearts is Square. What happened with Nintendo?
Oh, Smash Brothers got leaked. Copies of it got leaked. Yeah like a little bit ago. So, yeah.
They spoiled the story of Smash Brothers.
I know.
I think the bigger thing with that story was that the last fighters were revealed. Okay, mm-hmm. Nintendo was waiting until the last minute to announce some
shit. Have
they
put Waluigi in the goddamn game yet?
No, they haven't. Despite
the Luigi's
outcry.
Color to purple, though, so it's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Just I would pretend like that L's upside down.
Put lipstick on this pig.
No, you need a crown for that.
Oh geez. Yeah, no, this is what Square gets for putting something out on a Microsoft system. I figured I would just bring back that salt from when Final Fantasy 13 was brought out on the 360.
Okay.
That's not how I actually feel. I just thought that was very funny that people were there were lots of people online, by which I mean a couple of very obnoxious people that I read called out for it, saying like, "This is the end of Square putting it on 360." I don't know.
This means war.
Yeah. Good job, guys. You got them.
End of the day, I don't think it matters. One detail they mentioned in the article, they said the subreddit for Kingdom Hearts on is like actively like banning any posts that has spoilers for the game. So I think if like you're somebody who's into the game and you don't want to see spoilers, I don't think it's really going to come up at all.
Yeah. This also means there's going to be a real bumper crop for Kingdom Hearts 3 fake spoilers along the lines of Hermione dies kind of stuff. So who knows?
I didn't even know she was in Kingdom Hearts. That's crazy.
they had to work real hard to get the rights, but they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure what's more impressive between Smash Brothers or Kingdom Hearts in terms of the rights of characters that they have in their games.
I don't know. I think that maybe Smash Brothers, because it's from a bunch of different, like, I mean, they've got Konami and Capcom characters in the same game.
Star Wars has to be in the new Kingdom Hearts, right? Like that's happening. We can just infer that.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's like they've already had Disney characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, does Kingdom Hearts have any like surprising characters in terms of like licensing?
I mean, it's all
Disney.
It's all Disney. Yeah, it's all Disney and Final Fantasy and original Nimura creations, TM, original copy, do not steal. So that's why Kingdom Hearts is less impressive to me, because it's just Square working with one big company that they've been working with on this series for, you know, 17 years at this point.
Yeah, just, every 5 years or so, they just call up and be like, "Hey, you want to print some money?"
Yeah.
Who are you buying now, by the way, so we can add him to the game?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is Iron Man fair game? Fair game. Yeah. Well, you know, I feel bad for anybody who had their enjoyment of that game ruined, but yeah, this is just the new normal. That's just what's going to happen.
Actually, pushes glasses up on face.
Oh, yeah?
Scientific studies show that knowing spoilers does not impact your enjoyment of movies or other forms of media.
I was going to bring that up. I was going to say, take solace in the fact that what you feel isn't real. I was going to cite that same study, but I also didn't want to. I figured I'd let them have this one. If they want to be upset, they can be upset for now.
Have I introduced you to the replication crisis?
What is the replication crisis?
Basically, studies that actually use math have repeatedly shown that like most of the significant portions of the soft sciences just have dramatic flaws in their use of statistics, and basically there's very little reason to believe most studies from like sociology and psychology and things like that.
Do you have a paper to back that up?
Yeah, I'd have to pull that up.
Major of the person who wrote that paper?
Repeatability is the forgotten tenet of the scientific method.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the big thing was just instances of people writing purposely nonsensical papers and getting them published in prestigious journals.
Yeah. It's a big scam. A lot of it is
troll.
Man.
It's weird in academia, or if you're getting your PhD or something, it's like you gotta write a dissertation. So it's like you gotta write something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Dennis, speaking of things spreading around, free things spread, segue, what's going on with Google and Assassin's Creed?
Yes, indeed. So Assassin's Creed Odyssey is available for free to anyone who is willing to start playing it through the service of Google Stream, which is like a, name your service PlayStation Now or, browser-based streaming service for games. Mm-hmm. So you can load up Assassin's Creed Odyssey and play it in your browser. And that's actually always been the case. However, now they're saying if you play it in the browser for at least an hour, you will get the game for free in your Uplay or whatever Ubisoft thing. Yeah, whatever their service is. So notable, it's not like, hey, you can keep on playing this in Google Stream.
we'll give you all this data to download.
Yeah, they'll actually give you the thing to download and play on your computer proper.
Hmm.
What about on a PlayStation?
This does not extend to consoles as far as I am aware.
Yeah.
But I mean, if we look, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is still going for a full $60 price point. So this is I saw it on a bunch of Game of the Year lists. So this game is available for free. Essentially, as long as you're interested in playing it and you're willing to deal with streaming it for an hour.
You have to sign up, and spots are limited is the thing that I'm seeing.
Oh, I did not see that part. Yes. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's only like the first so many people.
I just went to the sign up page linked from the article that you sent. And it just said spots are limited. I have no idea how real that is, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But so, and move quickly, anyone who's interested, hopefully you're hearing this in time. I have no idea whether or not spots are limited is just marketing speak or true. The article does not comment on that. But if you have any interest in Assassin's Creed and their latest entry, which is apparently pretty good, you are more than welcome to pick it up for free, as long as you're willing to play it in a browser for a little bit.
Nice. Yeah, it's worth a shot. I mean, Google already has your everything, so what's the harm in giving them your email address?
Exactly.
Yeah. No. The Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I figure it's been long enough since I've played an Assassin's Creed game that I am kind of curious about either that or Origins. So I don't know. Might be worth a Hail Mary.
Isn't this the one where they kind of officially completely jettison the whole like Assassin's Creed thing?
that you're
they weren't
going
interested
into...
in realism anymore in this game.
I meant more in terms of being like, yeah, screw this whole Templar thing. No one actually cares anyways.
I think it's explicitly the other way. Like Assassin's Creed Origin is the origin because it shows the Templar Assassin split.
Oh no, I meant Odyssey.
I don't know about Odyssey. Yeah. I don't know.
Odyssey, which is the most recent one, is the one that's available on PC for free.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no way of knowing. I don't know. I mean, I have a way of knowing it doesn't involve playing a game.
I have no way of knowing that does not include effort.
Oh, I have no way of knowing based on my experience of this so far. Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious. My internet is probably too poor to do this, though.
Oh, but could you struggle through the tutorial on it and then get it to download?
Probably.
Wait, isn't the point of streaming that your computer doesn't need to be powerful? Like, don't you just have to be able to get a video?
Right. No, it's not that my computer is poor. It is that my my internet connection is not that great.
You still need a decent internet connection.
Yes.
But this is interesting new technology because Microsoft is doing this as well. They announced this back in October, where the idea is that they're running the games on their own servers and all they're doing is streaming it to your device. And so what's cool about it is it's making games kind of independent console now, where it's like you don't actually need a console to play whatever game it is.
I wonder what the like energy consumption implications of that are.
Oh yeah, is it more efficient to have them in data centers, like as opposed to having it distributed across? But you're still running your computer.
It's true. An interesting move by the company because they have to incur a lot of cost to do this because now they're running everybody's games instead of them running themselves. You know.
True. Yeah. Although now they're presumably also spying on everybody's games.
Yeah, they can monetize you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little needle pops out of your mouse and draws all your blood.
It's not spying if it's in the ULA.
Yep. Oh, neat. So I'm going to move on. I've got a rare move here in that I've got two stories, one of which is a regular kind of Cole something is going to happen story. So let's do that one first. The next game by the guy who made/makes Danganronpa, his name is Yoshinori Terasawa, and also Takayuki Sugawara. I want to give credits to both of them. That team at Spike Chunsoft, they're bringing a new game over to the West in March of 2019. It is Zanki Zero Last Beginning, and it's like a survival RPG that looks kind of neat. It has like a Danganronpa visual style, but like it's the end of the world. The sea level has risen and you play as a bunch of clones who have 13-day life cycles and you have to survive on these islands while learning the truth of what happened on Earth over the course of 13 days. You start young and then you grow old and then die and you're trying to feed all these meters to keep things going.
You play as multiple clones, I guess.
Yeah. That's the sense that I get.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought the next game coming from these guys was some kind of game. It was a new fiction from Danganronpa and from Virtue's Last Reward.
Different thing.
It was with middle schoolers. Am I remembering that right?
Different thing. So I guess the story here is this was out in Japan and it is being localized and brought over to America. I think what you're describing, that collab between those two kind of creators is the thing that is currently in development or has come out recently.
Okay. I don't think it's out yet, but
I'm
glad I'm not crazy in remembering something that doesn't exist.
No. It's just, there's a time lag because of localization and such.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how much discussion there is about that, but I was interested to learn about it. And I figured I would share it with the audience. Looks neat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's not enough litigation in that story, Cole.
No. what I really want is some jurisprudence. I want precedent to be set. So I went searching for another story, and the Fortnite is the rage with everybody. About 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was all the rage with everybody. What happens if both of those collide? You get Alfonso Ribeiro suing Epic Games over the inclusion of the Carlton dance in Fortnite. So the idea is, like, earlier this year, they added a new dance called Fresh, where you can do the Carlton dance. You know, it's set to It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones. Just a funny, happy running joke / meme on that show. And on its face, this seems kind of goofy and ridiculous. Like, haha, like this washed up actor, et cetera, et cetera. He's got a case. He really honestly does, because I looked it up. You can copyright a dance, and assuming that Ribeiro, as Carlton, was the person who came up with that dance, and it wasn't a professional choreographer, there, like this trips enough of the requirements based on my very scant research to be like, yeah, like, don't take my thing. Like, that's all I have. Please don't take it. Don't make money. don't make money off of my dance, you guys.
But I could also see, like, kind of gross, though. Can copyright human movement.
It's choreography. Like, it was thought out and committed to a medium.
Like, so this is different than what I heard for 2 Milli. So maybe there's something differentiating here. But when I read the article about 2 Milli trying to do the rock with it or swipe it or whatever, they said that you can trademark choreography, like, and there was some qualifier on it needing to be extended or, like, an entire section and, like, more robust than simply a move singular.
Right.
So something like that Fortnite is doing is very difficult to copyright because they specifically say, like, there's a certain amount of, you know, investment. I don't know how to describe the length of the choreography.
It just can't just be like, oh, I move my elbow like this, pay me.
You know, I roll my wrist slightly, or I do a pseudo, you know, Travolta-esque move, etc.
Right.
Quick, guys, we need to copyright the T-pose and then sue every game ever made.
Oh, yes. you're going down, poser. So I don't know. Like, the 2 Milli is like that story is referenced in this, but yeah, I also wonder if there's a case of, like, likeness kind of things, because it is so associated with Ribeiro, right?
Yeah, that's why I say it could be special circumstances, but who knows?
Yeah.
I feel conflicted because I like Carlton, but I don't like the idea of being able to own or trademark a dance. And I'm also surprised that the company that originally owned Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I can't remember if it's like ABC or CBS or whatever, I'm surprised that they don't own the rights to the dance.
I don't know. I remember just either catching it live or watching a highlight of Ribeiro doing the Carlton dance on Dancing with the Stars or something like that, some kind of reality TV show. Like, it's still a part of his ongoing shtick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, it may be.
Well, I think there'd also be issues of, like, you know, to what degree. I would think most dances aren't original. Like, aren't, you know.
There's only so many ways an arm and a leg can move.
Right, and, yeah. And I mean, most dances, Grant, I've never seen Fresh Prince of Bel-Air because I grew up in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
You know, most dances, you know, come from some tradition, you know, either, high art or, you know, some tradition of street dance or something like that.
Right. That it has an origin that is not traceable to one entity that can make money. It's a pretty dorky dance. Like, that's Carlton's whole thing. I can't imagine anybody would have moved like that unless they were on fire.
You'd be surprised, cultural differences and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think that the analogy that was helpful for me is, like, you can copyright a routine, you can't copyright a plié, you know?
Right. I don't know. Like, I may be falling prey to like a bit of a fallacy, which is the more money something makes, the less benefit of the doubt I extend to it. So I don't know what you would call that fallacy, but it's like Fortnite making all the money in the world in this moment as a cultural force. Like, I don't know. I don't want to extend to them the benefit of the doubt that they're on the up and up on this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They kind of incriminated themselves by calling the dance fresh. So
that's the thing too. Yeah. I don't know. I gotta say, I don't know about Tumili's case, but Ribeiro, I'm on your side. If you want to use that in the trial, ask me first. I don't know.
And 75%, damn it.
Prediction: AC Slater is going to start suing people who sit backwards in chairs now.
Damn it! Oh fuck! Oh god! No! Screwed. Oh boy! Okay. Yep. No, that was just a joke earlier. Huh? It was parody. Fair use. TM. TM. and David, you have a story that is related to Philippine fighting styles. I don't really have a segue for that. I just wanted to call it out and move it along. What's the story you brought for us?
Yeah, so there's a Kickstarter for a game, and I do not speak Tagalog, so I think it's Bayani, which is the Filipino word for hero.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I can tell, is in particular, like, in addition to, I think, just literally meaning hero, also...
means submarine sandwich.
Say that again?
It was a dumb joke. Don't worry.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. No, also apparently is like, you know, sort of like how America has like founding fathers. Like it's actually, you know, something that someone from history could semi-officially be, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Part of a secular pantheon.
Right. Exactly. That's a great way to put it. And so basically, apparently the, I'm sorry, I'm reviewing the article because I'm not sure if it was a single guy or like a team, but apparently there was a, viral social media post where someone asked about why this biopic about the, I think it was like the first democratically elected president of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Like throughout this entire movie, he's like sitting in a chair and the person's expressing just their like lack of understanding, a Filipino person, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out it's like, well, the guy had polio.
Oh, yeah.
And so the, you know, developer was just struck by like, hey, the younger generation, you know, doesn't know anything about, you know, kind of our, you know, the great people that came before us. And so they decided to develop a fighting game where the characters are based on these heroes from Filipino history. So it's not set in the, real world. It's not like some sort of like Dynasty Warriors type thing.
Okay.
It's, very much... You know, it's much more like a, the characters' kind of personalities are inspired by these various figures, which you might quickly realize when you realize that, like, one of the characters apparently has, like, a Mega Man-style gun arm.
Right, right. Oh, I mean...
So, you know, I was fairly certain the Philippines, you know, didn't have that, but, you know... Yo, I don't know.
Yeah, I have no way of knowing.
Yeah. So, but it's also one that I'm kind of interested to see. The guy that looks like it's sort of going to be the game's, I don't know, like Ryu, you know, kind of their, you know, figurehead is Jose. I think this is pronounced like Rizal. Rizal. And the funny thing is he's sort of compared to by a lot of people as being like the Filipino equivalent of Gandhi, which how that ends up to like fighting game, I'm not quite sure of.
Okay.
But on the plus side, though, this guy was endorsed for national hero status by President Taft. So, I mean, that's a thing.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it looks really cool. The art style is, very, very, I don't know, I'd say kind of the, Saturday morning cartoon vein of anime, kind of like Street Fighter does.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, and, looks like, it looks like something that, like, even if this wasn't something I was kind of, interested from the Filipino, history and martial arts standpoint, like, looks like something I'm kind of hoping we end up with, like, an anime series out of. So, yeah, looks like a lot of fun, looks pretty cool. I'm hoping, the one thing I'd be a little concerned about, other than just I am incredibly worthless at fighting games, is just the fact that I know, or at least my understanding is, fighting games are something that really particular in terms of, like, just minor things that, almost the developers don't have any, don't have control over, can, make or break, a game.
Just in terms of, like, balance issues that they don't think are issues get exploited and make it not that fun to play with other people.
Right. Well, and also, it's just sort of things where, like, I know, I like shooters a lot more than fighting games. I know in shooters, it's a thing where, like, at least for me, like, there is a very, very narrow range in terms of time to kill, where it's like, if it's higher or lower, like, I basically can't play the game.
Right.
And, I know that, I don't know what they are, because, like I said, this isn't my thing, but I know there's, a ton of things with, like, I don't know, like, move priority and, like, just all these things that can, make or break a fighting game.
Right, right.
But, I mean, still, I'm hoping, it seems like this is a game that, hopefully can even just stand on its, the merits of its, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly.
Well, haven't we all had the argument of, like, who would win in a fight, George Washington or Abraham Lincoln? This is just that for the Philippines.
I always thought a presidential fighting game would be amazing. Like,
they did too, apparently.
Yeah, I'm just imagining, like, President Taft as, like, E. Honda, and, like, probably Reagan's ultimate would just be him calling down, like, Star Wars lasers from the sky.
So. I'm positive this is a thing, though.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
As a side note, I don't know why this has come up so much in this particular article, but I still maintain President Taft, most underrated president of all time.
As regarding which accomplishment?
Boxing other diplomats.
Definitely. I would say in particular, like, breaking up monopolies.
Yeah. Yep. That was a good thing. That'll never happen again.
Nope. We live in the darkest cyberpunk timeline.
Damn it.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you ask the nice people?
Yeah, so I wanted to know about Game of the Year, not necessarily, like, the Game of the Year, all capital level letters, but your Game of the Year. Like, what game this year felt most tailor-made and perfect for you?
Personal besties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and let's get started here with Carson, who says, God of War. It was so fun to play, and the emotional story about the father and son bonding over a single journey really got to me. God of War makes several appearances on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think our listenership of parents of young children is expanding, so understandable.
This is true. At the end of the year, for the past few years, there's been like a Twitter thing going around of like, what's your favorite game that came out this year? What was your favorite game that you experienced for the first time this year, etc. And then there's always one that is like, what is the game from this year that you wanted to play but didn't and are going to? And that one for me is going to be God of War. Yeah, pretty good. Let's see, Ben, what does Corbin say?
Corbin says, mine is Tetris Effect, even though it is very difficult. It's a game by Tetsuya Mitsuguchi, who made Luminous, Meteos, and Rez. Rez is one of my favorite games of all time, and no one matches gameplay to beautiful electronic music like he can. Seeing that combination added to this classic gameplay is just incredible.
I feel terrible for saying that I desperately want to play Tetris Effect, but I balk at the $40 price tag. I believe everything that Corbin says, and I've looked at it and I'm like, man, a new Tetris game would fucking tilt right now. I just like, I don't know what it is about the number of Tetris games that I've bought. And I know this adds so much more. And that is my story of a personal failing.
It's a $240 price tag for you if you want to play like the VR version that everyone swears is the right way to play it.
Oh fuck yeah, you're right. Yeah.
See, I think my weird take on Tetris Effect is just every time I hear the name, I'm just disappointed that would be an amazing name for like a cyberpunk game or something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
that is just about.
I'm thinking some sort of like noir, like cyberpunk mystery. You know, the Tetris Effect.
Oh yeah, it's funny because that's a name for an actual psychological phenomenon.
Oh really?
Yeah. Just that sense that you get that you're still playing Tetris after you stop playing Tetris.
Start seeing how everything fits together.
Yeah. Like it was coined. I don't know who coined it, but like it was cited in medical papers and such like that as like a positive effect of playing Tetris that will help like alleviate symptoms of PTSD and such.
Okay. By giving you symptoms of, you know, OCD.
As long as there's a D at the end. Oh, Ben, why don't you do Lindsay and Jonathan?
Can I make a joke first?
Yes.
When treatment of PTSD isn't good enough, you got to go to Dr. Mario.
Right. Oh, no, sorry. David, can you do Lindsay and Jonathan?
Was the joke that bad?
No, I just realized that I had you ask Corbin, or that I had you read Corbin's thing.
Yeah.
David, can you read Lindsay and Jonathan's?
Sure. Lindsay says, God of War for me too. And Jonathan says, Resident Evil 7, which technically still counts in 2018 because it had a release on the Switch in Japan. I never thought I'd find a game engine quite so enchanting. The RE engine does an excellent job of creating a realistic lived-in environment. And, you know, playing it in VR took me back to being a kid in... and running around in my grandparents' farmhouse.
So, my grandparents were immortal, by the way. Nothing. It's a joke about the game.
Yeah. Just a joke about the state of disrepair of the house. Yeah. Do you want me to get the rest of that, David?
Okay, sorry. I didn't know if we were going to... Okay. I spent hours in the game just peeking around with the VR headset to find details that were placed where a majority of players wouldn't even see them. I remember being astounded when I was short on supplies and was able to find a box of handgun ammo by getting on all fours and peeking under a bed.
Nice.
Holy shit.
Yeah, to be fair, that's a fairly logical place to, you know.
Yeah.
The game also appeals to my interest in the fact I love shutting doors behind myself. And in this game, you're rewarded with doing so. I highly recommend for anyone afraid of bees.
Immersion therapy. Good one. Yeah, a handful of people got by on that loophole. It came out on a system that I own this year. We'll allow it. It's fine. We can't be sticklers. We can be, but it wouldn't about be this.
The games that came out this year, though.
Let's see, Dennis, what does Jack say?
Jack says, I'd put Dead Cells on top simply because of how totally drawn in I was by the game right from the start. Very few games that don't have a 40-plus hour epic storyline have that effect on me as much as this game did.
Nice.
Man, that's what I want anymore. I want that level of immersion and investment without the time investment.
Exactly.
High praise for Dead Cells.
Yeah. Let's see. Nathan says, while I may have had slightly more fun minute-to-minute with Spider-Man, I have to give it to God of War for the incredibly well-done, uniquely crafted cinematography. That camera work. Kissy face emoji. Yeah,
shot.
You just about had my answer, Nathan. Spider-Man is mine. I might as well just do that right now. Yeah, I mean, like, if I played God of War, I might be able to put that into the. I might be able to put that into the running. But yeah, Spider-Man is a game that I had a tremendous amount of fun with. Just, just joy in my hands. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ben, what does Connor say?
Connor says, I'm just going to be that guy and say Dark Souls Remastered.
Drink.
While this is not my favorite remaster, and it doesn't thoroughly revamp all too much of the game, it does truly benefit from its timing. After the wild success of the Souls games post-Dark Souls 1, a large new crowd of people were interested but unwilling to go back through the rough edges this game offered. I am a part of this group of people, and thank the gods this remaster happened and gave me a reason to sink my teeth in. Truly a life-changing game for all the many reasons that have been stated time and time again.
Yeah, good answer, especially
gotta
on Switch.
Have a Dark Souls answer, yeah, so.
We've met our quota.
He leapt onto that grenade. Kind of related to that, David, what does Marison say?
Marison says, Hollow Knight. I know the game released in 2017, but I think it still counts because it released on the Switch this year, which it does. I did not expect to be so drawn into a game that only cost me $20. I was blown away. The atmosphere of the game is phenomenal. The story is rich. The combat is tight. The difficulty is just hard enough to keep me coming back for more. And the game is just so much more massive than I ever anticipated. Hollow Knight easily goes down as one of the greatest games I've ever played. I really wish I could send feelings through a text post. Soon.
Soon. Hollow Knight's a good answer. It's a damn fine game.
Yeah, that really... Hollow Knight, I mean, I don't think this is my game of the year mainly because I didn't play it on the Switch. But, like, Hollow Knight really has to rank up there in terms of one of my definitely maybe the last game I've played that I would say, like, I would consider quote unquote, like, special.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, it just is for $20, something that beautiful and something that satisfying in your hands. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then Dennis, round us out with Greg.
Greg says, I came in here intending to write a good comment about a game that I love that came out in 2018. And then I realized I haven't played anything that came out this year I loved. My real life and the need to play games for the podcast I co-host is so busy that what gaming I do, I tend to play games that came out in past years because my backlog is so bad. And there's so much stuff that came out this year that I want to play also. Commentary on how crowded the game market is these days between AAA titles and indie releases and how overworked the average American is?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time is the most scarce resource.
That it is.
Well, he's sorry. I'm sorry. That is a very privileged statement.
I mean,
I can empathize with time being a very scarce resource.
Yes, there we go.
To be fair, I feel like that's true of all people. Just for some people, it's like, you know, the time I have to, I need to eat again.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, thank you for saving me.
Yeah. I don't think you said that with any hate in your heart. So.
No, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I also sympathize with that. I just opened up my journal of with the list of all the games I played in 2018, and I did a search, did a scan. I didn't really play a lot of games that came out in 2018, actually. So I think I can sympathize with that. You know.
So.
Good.
I'd be interested to see. I totally realize there's no objective way to do this, but it strikes me as. It seems like this has been kind of a slow year for kind of like must-play games, you know, particularly if you're not someone that is necessarily sold on playing like the next, you know, I don't know, Call of Duty.
You want to say Call of Duty so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, though?
Like I'm looking at a list of like the top games that came out in 2018, and it all looks like a bunch of good stuff. Like Celeste is on here, and Yakuza 6. I heard a lot of good things about. Like there's
I feel like most of those games, like you know, for example, the Yakuza series wouldn't be a game I would just like
jump into.
Well, and I would just like unreservedly say like. Yeah, you should play this.
Mm-hmm.
The way I would with like a Hollow Knight or even like you know, mine was Monster Hunter World, or you know, I think Resident Evil's the same way, where it's like if you like games, you should play this.
Well, you're in luck, David. We can just do this as your answer. Monster Hunter World came out this year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so that's definitely my answer. Like yeah,
before we get too much further into our answers, Steven Warzak just came in at the bell. And Steve, if you're listening to this now, you could not have timed this any closer. Well done, sir. Just in time inventory. Yeah. I feel like we should read his comment.
Yeah. Pokemon Let's Go, either version. I'm a huge Pokemon fan, and it has all the old school feelings mixed in with a lot of great new features, like seeing Pokemon roam around on the grass rather than random encounters. And the Pocket Ball Plus is fun to toss and catch Pokés. Yeah.
Oh, is that like the physical add-on?
Yeah, it's like a little Pokeball dingus that you that you can mime throwing.
That you can break things in your house with.
Yes.
So is this still related to Pokemon Go?
Kind of. My understanding is it's kind of a retelling of Pokemon Red and Blue, except it's simplified down to the point where, like, as you walk around, you see the wild Pokemon in grass. You walk up to them, and there's no battle to catch them. You just throw the ball at them, kind of like in Pokemon Go. But there are battles against trainers, is the thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think there's also like a weirder upgrade mechanic or something where you have to like catch certain ones in a row, but I could be confusing that with Pokemon Go.
Yeah, yeah, where you render them into candy. so your answer was Monster Hunter World, David?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think in terms of one, like it being a game that's, you know, very much, you know, I am the target market. Two, you know, I think it's fun to see a game that's kind of been a cult classic for so long, you know, sort of, you know, break out.
Mm-hmm.
Also just, you know, Palico's, and in particular, the Palico Chef are just amazing.
Yep.
I still maintain that the Palico Chef is Jala's spirit animal, but I think she's probably going to assassinate me for that.
Mm-hmm. No,
assassinate you?
Yeah, that's for certain. Ben, how about you? Goatee 2018.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit conflicted. I want to say God of War, but I think to answer the question and say like my own personal favorite game instead of like what I think the best game is, I think I'll say Subnautica for mine, because I really love that game, and I feel like that game maybe didn't get enough love from other people, maybe. So that's, yeah, it stands out for me as like one of my favorite games of the year. Really good gameplay and a pretty like simple concept for a game, like an elegant game.
I didn't realize that came out this year.
January of this year. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was great. I have to say, like, I think my thing for that was once you get the like full size ship, and the game just transforms into being this sort of like almost like convoy Steve simulator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like that was a very unique gameplay that I've not seen anywhere else. In part on top of like the entire game being pretty unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Subnautica is an extremely solid answer.
Yeah, and except I'm going to bitch about it now. The upgrade tree is fucking opaque as hell.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. That's true. And it is kind of hard to determine like what's not valuable and what is valuable, so you kind of have to build everything. But
would you put it in the category of a game you should play with the wiki open?
I can't remember how much I consulted a wiki when I played it. I don't know. I mean, if you're playing the game as like it's like a interactive fish tank and it's like something to relax to, then it's not a big deal. Like, because you just build everything and see what it does. Like, I remember building like the pipes and the air things or whatever. To this day, I have no idea how to make those work. It, like, I guess you could say there's a complaint that like some of that stuff isn't taught to you, but I do think that's kind of by design where they want you to explore everything by yourself.
I would say the one area where I think a wiki is semi-necessary is just some of the specifics of where you need to go next. Just because like they at times do an incredibly poor job of like telling you what biome you need to be going to.
Well, there's a lot of times they don't, you're not, you know, like usually the only time they tell you to go anywhere is if there's like a downed pod, right?
No.
And like the rest of the story you have to find on your own pretty much.
No.
I don't.
Let's see here. I already did mine, Spider-Man. Dennis, you asked the question. What ranks up there for you? Can I guess?
Yeah.
Can I guess?
Oh, sure.
Into the Breach.
Yeah, no doy.
Oh, yeah, see, I thought you were going to go with No Man's Sky.
Ooh, yeah, if you count an update. I've fallen off of No Man's Sky.
Well, I mean, I counted this was the year it became a game.
Okay, yep.
Fair enough. I fell off of it quicker than I thought I would, and that is through no fault of the game, because they've continued to put out quality content. But Into the Breach, I think, takes it for me by a wide margin, just because it is XCOM with all of the fat trimmed off.
Nice.
And it does the best job of any game I've ever seen of distilling down consequential decision making. Just every move you make, you feel the weight of that echo throughout the rest of the game. And every situation you find yourself in has a way out if only you can see it, you know? And that's really cool. It's just, you know, starting any of these missions. And there's such a heavy element of randomization that it's hard to believe that it achieves that feel so consistently versus just like, hey, I raffle stomp everything or I was screwed because of the map layout. Just so many times you're staring at your moves available and you're just like, I there's gotta be a way to kill everything. There's gotta be a way to take no damage. I know it's there.
Yeah.
And it is the quintessential stare at your screen game. But damn it. That's what I love. And they do it better than, I won't say do it better than, they do it in a more, concentrated dose than any other game I've seen.
Yeah.
How is it in terms of longevity? Because I know that was kind of a lot of the initial complaints.
You know, I played through it several times when it first came out, and then I left it alone for a while. But I came back to it probably 2 or 3 weeks ago and started playing it again, completely unrelated to this question or anything else. It was just that it felt like the right game to play in the moment, and it retained every single bit of its potency. I'm still unlocking new rosters and new ships, and eventually I'll unlock enough where I can start playing truly random teams, where you just get 3 ships chosen at random from all the ships you have unlocked across teams. And that'll be really interesting, because most teams are designed to synergize with each other. So you have something that takes damage when it attacks, but it's got a powerful attack. And then you've got a support ship that restores health if you kill an enemy. Like those kind of synergies. However, when you have a truly random team, I don't know how it's going to go because I'm not there yet. But so there's plenty of meat left on that bone, for sure.
Nice. Very good. It's fun to look back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, thank you everybody for writing in on that. If you want to participate in these in the future on Monday afternoons, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for those to go up. Again, remember, we will not be here for the next 2 weeks because of holidays. So everybody enjoy yours. No, wait, we're not ending the show right now. We still have to talk about the games we've been playing. So why don't we do that?
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Dennis, you've been away the longest. What's some notable stuff you've been playing recently?
I have. And yeah, there's plenty of notable stuff I've been playing. I'll try to focus on the two major ones and then give shout outs to the other fun stuff I've been playing. But the two major games I've been playing are Gravity Rush 2.
Hmm.
Nice.
And then Borderlands 2 VR.
Okay.
Which just came out a couple days ago. And I'll start there, since that one is technically a game that not only has it been out in a non-VR form for a long time, but it's a game that I've played before. But man, does having it in VR make it a completely different experience in a very, very good way.
Quantify that.
Yeah, so I think this is the first true shooter that I've played in VR. So I've played Superhot, which is shooting, but it's also almost got this like puzzle element to it, and you're in perpetual bullet time, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't really count that. This is the first one where it's like, hey, you have a gun and you have a world and you run around the world using the gun. Or in this case, guns, as Borderlands is wont to do. And whereas before, you know, having some of the higher velocity enemies like Rax is like their vultures of the game that'll kind of swoop down on you.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, one attacks you and flies off, you kind of have to rotate around slowly to the other direction and then sight in and shoot it out of the sky. Here, you can hear a rack screech dropping on you from behind and just whip around and fire, like in a heartbeat.
And just like, and really you make anybody who lives with you panic that you're moving so quickly.
Yes. But like, you, the first time you just like complete gut reaction, shoot a rack out of the sky that was about to pounce on you from behind, you were like, I am a god. This is amazing. Like, it just, it feels great. And the ability to just like snap aim. From point to point, you know, you definitely don't have it with a controller because you're using the thumbstick and you're kind of pushing your cursor around. Mm-hmm. You kind of have it with a mouse, but it's still an approximation. Mm-hmm. When you are literally firing by pointing and firing your gun, like just like you would in real life, it's just got a whole different feel to it. I've been impressed by how mobile the gameplay is as well. The other open world game I've played is Skyrim.
Right.
And while that's great to be able to play the way I'm playing, which is with bows and arrows, you have to stop moving and use both hands to aim. With Borderlands, you're using one hand to move all the time and one hand to aim and shoot all the time, which allows you to like strafe and move backwards and around.
Yeah, we call that the configuration.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, I've learned VR. I felt that when I had my first couple of more intense experiences with VR, but I've gotten over that curve, and I don't want to presume it's something you can learn, but I've certainly acclimated to it, and that's unlocked a lot of really cool experiences. Where I am, I'm like, you know, dashing past someone, firing off, and then like looking behind me real quick to fire. I'm doing it. I'm motioning right now and knocking stuff over. Like, you know,
just like in VR.
Yeah. Fortunately not. Although I was demoing Superhot to a friend a couple weeks ago, and he nearly punched me in the face. And it's one of these where I didn't say anything because I didn't want to make him feel bad, and he couldn't tell. And no harm, no foul. But but so just it that feels really good being mobile. The example that I'll give is I was being chased by a bunch of bandits, psychos, like melee characters, and jumped off a ledge, like spun around as I did, and as I was landing, kind of quick shot up behind me. And again, a complete like gut reflex, falling through the air, firing up behind me. It was a shotgun blast that literally the guy had jumped down after me, and I bounced him back into the air and over my head with the blast, killing him. And it's just like that moment, time and time again, whereas, you know, playing with a controller or even maybe more with a mouse, but again, it's not a one-to-one. You'd never be able to have that kind of moment. So that, you know, layer that level of immersion and being able to like aim and shoot in such a kind of off the cuff way, it's hard to describe.
Yeah.
Layer that on top of Borderlands 2, which is already a pretty solid game.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a really fun experience. So I am, you know, I know the story beats because I've played this game through probably 3-ish times now. Yep. But I am not feeling like this is an old game at all. It feels very, very new.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's me heaping praise. There are a couple asterisks on that, I guess I'll say.
Yeah, let me know. Well, what's the problem?
The way they handle Zoom in the game is very, very inelegant.
Okay.
And in concept, it's not a bad idea. Because what happens is instead of like your screen entirely zooming in, which I think would be nausea inducing even for me, you get a little pop-up over your gun that shows like your scoped view. So you can kind of still see the world around you in regular zoom, and then just within this pop-up you can see the full zoom. That itself is actually kind of cool, because now I have really good awareness of my surroundings as I'm sniping, and I can know if someone's trying to sneak up on me, and that, like, you know, I appreciate that. The problem is that the frame rate within the scoped view is horrendous.
Oh, no.
Like, noticeable tick, 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 tick of things moving.
It's not like you're trying to do things with precision when you're looking through a scope.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, we're probably talking 10 frames a second, if that. That's probably generous when you're looking through a scope. And, yeah, trying to hit anything with that going on is completely worthless. So fortunately, I lucked into the class build that I'm playing is a Gunzerker build that has some special bonuses for pistols.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really spending a lot of time scoped, but there are some mission objectives where it's like, hey, kill this person with a sniper rifle, or, you know, something along those lines. And it's just like the game is unusable.
Ugh.
Especially because when the sniper rifle kicks, like if you're fighting, like sniper rifles do, mm-hmm. you get that recoil and you have no idea if you hit or not. Like unless the camera pans back down in time to show the number of damage above their head, you just don't have any idea.
Mm.
So if you play Borderlands 2 VR, it has my recommendation. Do not play a sniper. Just don't. Forget
it. Yeah.
So sorry, Zero might as well not be a class in this game or character in this game.
Right.
So that's my big, like, that sucks. Everything else about it has been wonderful and really, really enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, it's just one character that you're unable to play. That seems not too terrible.
one weapon type.
Yeah.
Of six.
Okay. Yeah. So there we go.
In a game that is entirely about guns, that's what, you know, 20-ish percent, 16-ish percent of the game that's inaccessible to you.
Can you play... Okay, so if you're playing Borderlands 2 in VR, can you play co-op online with people who are not VR?
Unfortunately, no, but that's okay because no one did that anyway.
Okay, yeah.
That was such a selling point of Borderlands. Like, the whole four-player co-op thing is, like, very much runs throughout it, and just no one ever actually did it. So it's missing from this mode. I don't think that it's worse for that, because I've never played it co-op anyway. No, I take that back. I think I played it co-op for a little bit with, it might have been Phil Holmes. So hi, Phil. I think I played it co-op with him for a little bit. Didn't get very far in it.
Played the VR version co-op?
No, played the regular version.
Okay.
Co-op. So it does happen, not in VR, but I don't think the game really loses anything for that. The other qualifier is I'm playing on a normal PS4, not a PS4 Pro. So maybe some of those frame rate issues would be ironed out on PS4 Pro. I don't know.
It's possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's Borderlands 2 VR.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like an immersive way to re-engage with an old favorite.
Something like that. Are you quoting something?
No.
We're now sponsored by Gearbox, so we have to say this.
Yeah, sorry. I should have told you guys. Now, it just seemed like a funny thing to say. I don't know. Just something I'm trying out.
Yeah, try it again. See if it sticks. Maybe get it that time.
Would you say that's an immersive way to re-engage with an old favorite?
Okay, no, I'm feeling it. Good.
Okay.
Yeah. Why? Yes.
Oh.
So I've been having a lot of fun with that. I've also been playing Gravity Rush 2. which was, I think, on sale for $6 after they shut the servers down.
Yes.
So downside is you're playing this game without any internet connection. Really, the only thing that was used for was you could look at other people's pictures to do like a photo hunt of secret areas, essentially.
Nice.
Or secret collectibles. So you don't get any help on that front now, which is unfortunate. And then you would, if you took a picture that got used or liked or whatever, you would get in-game currency of some kind. And you can't get that now. However, I haven't felt like that's a hindrance to the game at all. It theoretically picks up right after or shortly after the first game ends. But the plot of the Gravity Rush games is so inscrutable and episodic that it doesn't really matter.
Okay. Like,
you'll see some characters you recognize. That's nice. But otherwise, like, you know, you don't have to think too hard about it. Like,
quick question. Are you playing this on Vita or on PS4?
Oh, on PS4.
Okay. Oh, it's only on PS4. Sorry. Original Gravity Rush was like a Vita killer app.
Yes, it was. And I wholeheartedly endorse it as such. I think you would be able to play this fairly easy through like remote play. I haven't tried that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, the game retains everything that made the original Gravity Rush so delightful.
Can you give like a back of the envelope pitch for what that is?
Yeah, so you are a young woman who wakes up with superpowers and no real memory of who she is. Your superpower is the ability to control your personal gravity, essentially meaning that you can both fly, walk on the underside or side of buildings, and also wield like a stasis field that allows you to pick up objects and throw them. All of those powers that I described are kind of unlocked throughout the first game. You start the second game with everything, which is really nice.
Nice.
Now, if you hadn't played the first game, maybe that would be overwhelming. But it felt really good to just jump in and not have to like re-unlock any of that stuff. So the back to back of the envelope, which is not very back of the envelope at this point, you proceed to use those powers to do the most mundane possible tasks, such as delivering newspapers or finding a child's balloon that's floated off and stuff like that. In the game overall, the protagonist, Kat is her name, is just overall just a very kind-hearted person and just kind of wanders around helping people out and being good-natured in a very lovable way that is not at all like, ooh, I'm a superhero. She just wants people to be happy.
Yeah.
Wants to help people out. And that is the charm of Gravity Rush, and 2 specifically really leans into that. That you kind of just fly around doing chores for people, essentially.
Ah, oh, man, I love a low-stakes game.
Sorry. Yes, that is very much it. And it's funny, like I said, it is very episodic, and the main plot thread is very anime and convoluted and inscrutable. So it does have that side to it, but it's just like the real fun of the game is that low-stakes, exploring the world, seeing beautiful vistas, and helping people out in a very lighthearted way.
Fantastic.
So go ahead.
So since you have all the powers that you got, since you have all the powers of the first game at the beginning of this one, do they do any cool stuff by adding new powers, or do they just give you like really cool ways to use the existing ones?
So they do add powers. However, I'm probably 20 hours into the game, 15 hours into the game, and have just now gotten to the point where I've unlocked a new set of powers.
Okay.
So essentially your normal mode is what it sounds like. You can shift gravity. But when you are not shifting, which uses energy, you act like a normal human being.
Right.
I've now unlocked lunar mode, which essentially like, even when you're not using your shifting powers, you act like you have the gravity of the moon, which allows you to like jump really high and far, which would be cool, except you can always kind of fly. So whatever, but then also the attacks that you use are significantly different and you're able to more easily hit faster enemies with lighter attacks. I am guessing that there is a heavy mode coming, which is the slower, harder hitting.
Did your
Jupiter powers.
Yeah.
Wait, is this a backdoor secret Sailor Moon game? Because I'd be way down for that, actually.
Probably as close as you're gonna get so far.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and you know that it's nice to have that stuff, but I think I'd be enjoying myself even if I didn't have the new powers to deal with. Specifically because this is a game that I've been playing a lot with Luke and Milo sitting and watching.
Oh, dang! Yeah.
It is the perfect game to play with your kids. And they love it. They ask for it as often as they ask for any other cartoon that they watch. and it's hilarious. I have PS3 controllers out that I give them. They each have their favorite color, mm-hmm. are usually holding them upside down, but they don't care. and it's just like that they can understand what's going on in the game. Like they get the superpower, yes, but then the storyline of like, hey, we're going to deliver newspapers, or hey, we're going to, you know, find this balloon that floated off. All right, like they get it and they love watching that play out. On top of it, the cutscenes are for the most part done as a series of like panels with people's faces and text, not spoken word. So I'm reading them the game like I would read them a book.
Okay.
Which means I'm getting really good at voices and definitely forgetting certain characters what their voice is. So I'll remake it up on the spot. And,
do they correct you? Like, no, that's not what he sounds like.
Hopefully they're more low key than that. But that has been an absolute delight. It's like it's essentially reading them a book.
Nice.
During the cutscenes.
I have to call up. One of the like panel sequences for some reason is one of my favorite in any game I've played in a really long time. There's an early mission where you're just basically using your gravity powers to dumpster dive to outfit your room,
mm-hmm.
and one of the sequences of panels is just, you know, her doing that and then her like, you know, reaching out for like a shiny like you know lantern like hanging from a street light or something with like, you know, kind of the anime like drooly face, you know, ooh shiny. And then the next panel is just her being scolded by one of the city guards. And I know, just like whatever the like comic book equivalent of pacing for like that sequence of panels is just right on.
Yeah, the spread is that from the first game, I imagine.
I think that's from the first game. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff. Well, and the interesting thing, so the main plot line or the kind of conflict in the world you're inhabiting, very very overtly has to do with income inequality. Like you're in a world of floating islands. That's what makes it so cool to like have gravity powers. But the first time you need to like chase this supposed gang member down, and you're like, okay, he's down there. You're like, down where? You look down and like, I always just assume it was like a kill box if you fall too far. But no, if you fall and fall and fall, you'll fall through the smog and eventually find there's a whole nother city underneath your city.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
That's like the low income people. And then likewise, if you fall up and up and up and up, and it kind of takes multiple uses of your power to do this. So it takes a while to get there. You find like the ultra rich who are living in this like paradise level of the world above everyone else. And it's just like very overtly about that. And, you know, this came out whatever a year and a half ago ish, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, and it could not be more timely. Like the messaging is just so perfect for the world we live in. And it's done in a way that Milo and Grockett, like the 4.5-year-old, is like, so they took our stuff, but they just wanted it so they could eat. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, and now like the soldiers are attacking us because we're giving them the stuff that was supposed to go somewhere else. Yeah. And he's like, you know, that sucks. I'm like, yeah.
Like, cool.
Yeah, that's a paraphrase. But like he's just having that kind of reality being something that I can engage with him over, and like the gravity rush is. Or Gravity Rush 2 is giving me this springboard to like have these conversations with my kid that I have no idea where else this would come up. It's really kind of cool. And yeah. All in like an anime cat girl who can control gravity. So go figure, right?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Just really, really cool. And I've been enjoying the hell out of it. The missions are starting to feel a little bit samey. And again, I just unlocked a new set of powers. I'm hoping that it will bring some diversity. I don't have that high of a hope because there's, I don't know, there's only so many things you can do with these powers.
Right.
We'll see how much they change it up. But overall, the experience of controlling gravity just feels really good. So, you know, I'm not going to mind if there's not too much mechanics wise added to this game. Mm-hmm. Because I'm there to read in silly voices to my kids and, you know, float upwards into the sky. And that's what this game does really well.
Yeah. That is awesome. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you found a way to involve your family in that. And that this is a game that like is both kind of like ethically intriguing, but also not something where you're using your powers to kill as many people as possible, but doing regular stuff that people can understand.
Do they ever address the fact that, at least in the first game, I know I definitely accidentally killed a ton of NPCs.
Yeah, they do this thing where, like, if you use your gravity powers in a crowd to, like, float off into the sky, it'll kind of inadvertently, stasis field style, pick up a couple people with you.
Okay.
But then they drop off, and so you definitely drop some people off of ledges.
Well, you know, every superhero story has collateral damage. I mean...
Yeah.
Well, and it's just weird because, like, there's no mention of it. Like...
I can only assume there's some, like, these are floating cities. They have to have some mechanism in place for that.
Yeah. I mean, like, otherwise it'd be like in the Jetsons where, you know, every time you fall off, you land in the Flintstones world. That's at the base. That's at the base of the cities. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, quick hits. A new game that I played is Onrush. It was, the pitch for it is it's Burnout meets Overwatch, which was thrilling for me on a conceptual level.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
In execution, it kind of sucked. And I hate to say that because I wanted to like it so bad. But it feels on rails. Like the auto steering is so evident that because, you know, the whole game is about smashing and bashing other cars. And for that to happen and not just completely always be spinning out of control, the game has to kind of correct you, which just means that I can play it with my eyes closed most of the time. And it also just, you know, in Overwatch, you have eliminations, you know, in Burnout, you can cross a finish line. This game just has these score bars that slowly, slowly go up over time. Mm-hmm. And I kind of vaguely know what I'm doing to impact that, but not really. And it just winds up feeling like I drive with my eyes closed until I get a ding saying that I won. So I didn't spend much time with it after the first probably four or so races. Just not for me, unfortunately.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. So I was excited. I was like talking with people in the Slack. Hey, we got to play this together. And it's not there. Not there for me. I've continued to play lots of Trackmania. I'm now top 0.25% in the world globally.
Oh, nice.
And then I've continued to play a lot of Atlas Reactor, which, God damn it, people play this game. I want this game to survive. It's so great. Yeah. And that's all I'll say about that.
Wait, Trackmania, is that a kart game?
No, it is a racing game that as far as Onrush is hold your hand, Trackmania is like demanding perfection.
Yeah.
Over the course of, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of racing at a time, and any single micro, you know, one micrometer off and you fly off the track. And so it's a me kind of game.
Yeah, it's like an incredibly precise F-Zero. Yeah.
Which funny to say, because it's so precise, I noticed the lag playing on an HDTV.
Oh no.
I've taken to playing by lying on the couch. You guys are gonna think I'm such a nerd. Lying on the couch and just strapping my VR goggles on. which gets me the that's instantaneous. That gets me the precision I want.
Right.
But then it also locks me into a sensory deprivation box.
Right.
Where I just lose all concept of time and suddenly it'll be 1:30 AM.
There really ought to be just like a system level option on all VR helmets that just like give me a time overlay, please.
Yes, please.
Like just like make it so it only happens when I look straight down, but
yeah no, it really needs it. Although on the plus side, I've gotten done sometimes be like, oh, it's probably like 2 a.m and I look over and it's like 11:30. I'm like, oh
yeah, right, bonus time,
I did okay.
That's a freebie.
But that's everything I've been playing. That's quite a lot, but I've been gone for a while, so
nice.
It's good to catch up on that stuff.
Yeah. I'll do mine real quick because it's real quick. but I want to put it in front of Ben and Dennis. You were not here last week. Been playing more Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Ooh, nice.
Continuing to have a good time with that. It is an amazing fit for a portable game system, especially with the new single player that is really focused on playing just a bunch of gimmick matches all in a row to unlock new people.
So, what do you mean gimmick matches?
Oh, just like you're going around on a world map and fighting these battles to unlock new spirits that you can use to customize your players or your characters as you play. And like these spirits put on like mutators. So like there's one where you're fighting against. Okay, so the spirit that you're getting is like the star rod from Kirby. So the battle is you're fighting four Kirbys that all start off with the star rod. and there are other mutators like heavy wind or increased gravity or things like that. Or this enemy is giant, or here's a bunch of small versions of enemies, stuff like that. And
would you rather fight one horse-sized Kirby or 10 duck-sized Kirby?
Yes. exactly. I don't know. I can't actually engage with that conundrum on a good faith level. I apologize. but yeah, you know, each of these battles, you know, takes, you know, 2-3 minutes, and it's super fun to just kind of like pick this up in between doing stuff and play a handful of them while you're kind of like resetting your frame of reference in between tasks.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how long on average is like a match? Is it different at all from previous Smash Bros?
I couldn't tell you. It's been a very long time since Brawl, even.
I'll jump in and say that I played this as well this past week.
Oh,
and
dang.
Say
that
the mechanics feel pretty similar to past games in terms. It feels similar to Brawl, I feel like, in terms of like response time. But I don't know like the deep down specific details that like true Smash Brother players are looking at or whatever. I can't speak to that, like whether it's better or worse or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, neither could I. I mean, and that's the caveat that extends to a lot of like all of my discussion about this. I'm just having fun playing with and against a bunch of new characters. And because it's been since Brawl, since I played, like, you know, there are characters like, oh, I haven't fought against them yet. And it turns out, oh, they were in Smash Brothers U, but you just didn't experience that. So, hey,
you, like many other people, did not play that game.
Right.
So some of the new characters I played that I thought were cool, and maybe we can speak to this as well. Have you played as Krul yet, or K. Rool?
Oh, the bad guy K-Rool. From Donkey Kong Country, K. Rool? No, I've not.
He's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. Have you played as Ridley yet?
No, I've played against Ridley, and that's fun.
Isn't Ridley like 2 stories tall?
They shrink him down. He's like regular size.
He's on the big end of characters, but yeah, probably small comparison. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you played as the Inklings yet?
No, I haven't. Oh, what are those?
Fun. Yeah, they're fun. Like from Splatoon.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like they can, they're like their paint can affect the can lay down on the on the stage and affect.
Can you like turn into squid mode?
I think that there are like alternate. Like maybe like the squidling is a different, is like it's like the echo character or whatever that is. Yeah. Oh, okay. A lot of the characters that I'm getting are like, here's an anime person from Fire Emblem or Xenoblade. That all look and seem to play functionally identically, so that's a bit of a bummer. I have no affection for them, really. Like, fine if that's your thing.
At least they're true to the source material.
I mean, even going back to like the older Smash Brothers, I could not care less about a Marth or a Karth or whatever their names are.
Barth.
Karth would be sweet if they brought him in from Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, dang, yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah, like the Marth and Roy and stuff like that. Like, it seems like they add a couple, like, every Smash Brothers to, like, get fans of those series excited. But yeah, they do seem to play pretty similarly to one another.
Yeah. Well, I mean, additionally, like, I don't know. There's already a really good swordsman character that I'm used to and understand. Like, there's Link. Yeah. You know?
That was the first time I've ever heard Link called a good character in Smash Brothers.
I like playing as him. I know his standing special is dumb, but
his up B is tough.
Yeah.
But that's sweet. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was really happy with it. I only played multiplayer, only played no items. So I don't know, like, because I know there's like specials, like there were in the Brawl version, right, where like people have special moves that they can the game or whatever. Good. Haven't seen any of those yet at all. But it's definitely a functional party game from my experience with it. I was impressed that they give you all the maps from the get-go, and you just have a ginormous grid of stages you can play in.
So picking it up and right out of the box, going to play with a bunch of people, was it frustrating to have a limited character roster? Like, how quickly did new people open up for you as you were playing?
To be clear, I do not own this game. I played it at a friend's house who owned this game.
Oh, dang. Okay.
So
they had some of the characters unlocked. I think they had 55 when we started, and then we unlocked like maybe three in the course of playing.
Okay.
So I think there's 70 some total. So there's like a good number of them already. But there were enough, and there were enough ones that like I basically tried to only play as characters I hadn't played before, and like we played for like an hour, and I could pick a new character each time and do that.
Oh, nice.
I hadn't played as like a Dark Samus before, and that was interesting. It's basically just Samus, but just like a skin over it. Also, it was interesting they split the Zero Suit Samus and regular Samus. So now there's three different Samus characters you can play as.
It seems like even just adding the notion of Echo Fighters freed them up to do a bunch of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's still a lot more I want to... Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a game. I think I'll eventually get it. It is a really fun party game, so I do like that aspect of it, where it's just something that you can use for entertainment purposes if there's people over.
And I'm having a good time with it just by myself. So
I
think that covers all of existence, either with or without other people. You can enjoy things.
Cole, have you delved into any kind of online mode yet?
No, not really. I want to fire it up, but I just haven't really felt like fucking with it.
Do you have the like the attachments off the screen, or can you play it functionally with the controllers on the screen?
I've mostly been playing it in bed, but like before I go to sleep or before I start reading.
I'm trying to figure out if you can play it on an airplane or not, and how weird you'll look if you do.
I mean, unless you really put your whole body into it, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. You can discreetly play it. All
right. Yes. You mean if you play it right?
Yeah. I twist my body like I'm holding a steering wheel. It makes no sense given that it's a fighting game.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm happy you enjoyed it. I will continue to play this probably until I unlock every character that I care about and then put it down, and that'll be fun.
But maybe bring it to wherever we meet up in a week or so, and we can play it there.
Oh yeah. Yep. All right, sweet. Yeah. So that's everything. I've played some mobile stuff, but I will not. I will not extend this in my section of this further. Ben, what have you been playing besides Super Smash Brothers?
I got a decent list this week, and it's mostly because I was trying to play a bunch of different games to try and prepare for Duckstream to try and find like a good game that would be streamable. So the game I ended up streaming, the one that I probably played the longest, was there's a game called Pipe Push Paradise. I think it's called a Sokoban game, which is just a game where you move stuff
around. I've watched that, but it's only been in incognito mode.
Nice.
Maybe there's two Sokobans. I need to go to Urban Dictionary after this.
I was going more for Pipe Push Paradise.
Okay. All right. It's a fun name. But it's kind of in the same vein as like a Steven Sausage Roll, as where it's like it has good game design elements, but it has like kind of like a silly like lo-fi graphics. One of the selling points is it has really good music. The music track is like maybe on a 15-minute loop or something like that.
Oh wow!
But it doesn't get that tiring. Like it still like sounds really really good. It's weird for that to be like a selling point of the game. But the game itself is fun. I kind of embarrassed myself on the stream. I solved like some of the puzzles, but got stuck on like a couple of them. Then I played it later yesterday afterwards and got to go through more of the puzzles. There appear to be like maybe like 5 or 6 different world like type stages. And I've gotten through two completely. I've gotten through a third one of all but one of the puzzles, and then I've kind of played around in some of the other ones.
Yeah.
The mechanics seem cool. It seems like maybe a shorter game. Like if you, it depends on how long I guess it takes you to solve stuff, but you could probably beat it maybe in like 8 hours or under. So maybe that's like average length, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's only an $8 game, so it seems like a pretty good value for that.
So when you say that it's like Steven's sausage roll, are you referring to the fact that, like, as you push these pipes, rotation is an effect?
Yes. It's a little bit different, though. So, like, if you have, like, an elbow-type pipe, so think of, like, it's like an L, but it's evenly spaced, I guess. Like, there's only 3 points or whatever instead of, like, a long side. Depending upon where you push that, it may or may not rotate. So, like, if it's lying flat on the ground and you push it on the rolly part, like, it'll rotate upwards and you'll have, like, a section pointing upwards in the air. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you point it on, like, if you're pointing it along the long direction, I guess, like, as if you're Mario going down the pipe.
Mm-hmm. They'll just kind of scoot it along.
It just slides.
Yeah,
it doesn't rotate. And so there's a lot of cool, like, interactions that'll come out of that, like, tiny mechanic. So it does a really good job of kind of like getting a lot out of like simple mechanics, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few like kind of conventions similar to like Steven's sausage roll, where it's like if you happen to push this pipe against another pipe in this way, then this just happens, kind of for convenience's sake of like being able to design better puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's some like weird kind of physics going on with that. But overall, yeah, I don't know. It's like just a short, fun game. I don't want to overstate it too much, but So if you're into games like that, like Steven's Sausage Roll, then that would be definitely a game that you might want to check out.
Nice.
I heard about it first on John Blow's stream. Somebody in the chat recommended it. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Anyway, other games that I've played, I started playing Layers of Fear.
Oh, dang.
Nice.
This was a gift from David. So thanks, David. Cole, yep. Have you played this game?
Yeah, I did it on a stream, and then I think something happened to the archive of it, so it's not there. But I played Layers of Fear, the base game. I haven't done the expansions.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is a weird one in that it's a game that I've let's played that I, to whatever degree is possible with that, would consider myself a fan.
So you watch somebody play it. That's a dream. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I did not let's play.
I just want to be to be clear, because if you did that, people would probably want to see it.
It seems cool though. I've only played like maybe an hour of it. Again, like I was kind of testing it to see if it would be a good streamable game, and it probably would be. Since I was streaming Sunday morning, it didn't seem like a horror game. Didn't seem like a good Sunday morning activity, so I opted for something else. But I definitely enjoyed like the hour that I played of it. I like how they do the scares in the game. It's not like monsters jumping out of you. Things like you play the piano and then the piano slams on your fingers. It's like, all right, that's a fine enough scare. Yeah, it's not like Dead Space where I'm going to have a heart attack, but it's like, it's still doing things that scare you and that are unexpected.
Yeah. And like the entire game is all about, a house that shifts malevolently around you.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe hopefully that goes in some other cooler places like House of Leaves style. So we'll see. I've gotten to some of that where like you go to exit the door you came in on and it's something different. You're in a different hallway or a different place.
Like the X meets Y description would be like, what if Amnesia met Antichamber, but there were no monsters.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's the mechanics are kind of weird. It was built in Unity, which I guess is interesting, because I don't know if I've seen too many horror games built in Unity like that. The motion controls are kind of interesting too, because your person like hobbles around or like shambles around. It feels very clunky, but like they also don't really need to move around in a tight fashion or anything like that. I don't know. I specifically didn't read anything because I wanted to save that for stream if I was going to stream the game. So I've only like walked around and explored everything and like looked through everything. And I've gotten some of the storyline gist where it's like a painter's house and like her husband left her or something like this, maybe. I don't know. That's like the premise. And so the ghost is going to take it out on you. And I guess that's the premise of the game. Yeah. But So that's the game I started. I might continue playing it. It seems pretty fun. So
yeah.
Other game that I want to talk about that's a bigger one is Red Dead Redemption 2. I've finished it, I think.
Oh wow.
I played it all day today because I wanted to kind of get it over with, if that makes sense.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. And so I was kind of like writing down comments about the game as I was playing it to try and like go through like how I'm processing it. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten the ending, I think, but I'm in the middle of the epilogue video. I haven't seen that yet. So I'm like, so maybe like my review should have a grain of salt on it, but I'm pretty sure I have like the gist of the game and the end of the game. The story is good in the game. Like the narrative's good. The only downside is it takes 60 hours to get through the story. And it's like, it's padded by a lot of riding around on horseback, looking at your GPS. Cause you still have that for some reason.
Right.
And then like just shooting, like all your missions are like, go to this point, shoot these people in this like shootout. And that's it. There's no consequences for like the number of people that you're killing in each of these missions. Like there are missions where you kill entire towns worth of people and you go back a day later and it's completely repopulated. It's not a problem at all. Yeah. And like, you can still play poker if you want to, you know, it's like, so it's like that's like the part that kind of, that's what I don't like about it is like, even though it's kind of like, because they make the decision where they're making an open world game and it's a lot of elements that they don't have control of, there's like a lot of clunkiness there. Yeah. A lot of the missions become very frustrating because like you'll run into the problem of like, I didn't stay close enough to this person. They got shot. So I have to restart the entire mission over. Or I fell off my horse and I can't get back on and catch up to the person quickly enough. So I have to start over again. And yeah. The reason why I fell off my horse is because I ran into a tree because the controls decided that I was going to go to the right of this tree, even though I was trying to go to the left of it. Hmm. And so it evened it out by going directly into the tree. Like things like that are yeah. like definitely points of frustration. The kind of like, make it kind of outstay its welcome, I guess. And then I wrote down a couple of events that kind of like speak to this. There was one mission I was going through where one of the characters is talking about a very like personal moment in their lives where their wife and child died. And they were talking about like how they felt when they like saw their gravestones and stuff like that. And then their story was hard stopped by someone else saying, oh, here's the ginseng that I wanted to pick. Let me go do this real quick.
Oh, no.
And then they go pick the ginseng, and then they come back, and they're like, oh, yeah, as you were saying. And then they go back into the story that they were talking about. It's just like, and it happens because it's like, they, you know, like the game's not, it's the opposite of God of War. They're not fine-tuning, like, every experience that you have. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just setting it up, like, here's an open world, here's all these conditions. Like, you go have fun in the sandbox, and, you know, like, hopefully we've, like, done enough, like, checkpoints that you'll have, like, a decent experience with this. Let's see. There's another case where this one didn't make sense because of just how they designed it. There's one mission where you hold hostage a cop to try and get a person out of prison. And you like, you know, dramatically like let this cop go and be like, all right, I'll let you live. And that goes into the mission. And then you immediately have to shoot 5 different guards on the top of the prison before you can retreat with your friends. And it's just like, what, like, because, you know, like the game's priding itself on like having these deep, complex characters, you know, which when it gets to the narrative, like cutscenes, they are trying to do that. But like the missions that you have are completely schizophrenic and like don't really support this at all, you know. Then to counteract this, though, one fun story that I had is a random encounter. I was riding along and I saw a hunter and he was like hunched down. He's like being really quiet. And he's like, hey, I'm trying to hunt, whatever. And so I followed him around for a little bit to try and see what happened. And it looked like nothing was going on. So I decided it would be funny to just fire a warning shot to ruin his experience.
Okay.
So I'm like, whatever he was like, hunting. So I do that. And then a bear comes out of nowhere, attacks and kills the hunter. And then I run away on my horse and the horse bucks me off. And so then I shoot and kill the bear. That was a great experience. Yeah. But that was an experience that the game did not design me to have at all. Like, me making my own fun from the game.
Yeah, but also you could say much in the same way that those systems interacting poorly created your bad experience riding the horse around the tree. This was a way that the systems that they created made it possible for you to have a bear surprise experience.
Yes. So I guess to the point, the game did a good job of making like kind of like a cohesive world. It's just that the missions they put on top of it are not very good. The narrative's good. But any like fun you have in the world, you have to create yourself. And they sometimes give you good tools to do it, but more often than not, I feel like they don't give you enough good tools to like have an enjoyable time with the game.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I think, my kind of end review for Red Dead Redemption. I definitely would not put it as my favorite. Like, I think I would put Spider-Man, God of War, Subnautica. I would put those all above this game in terms of how much fun I had playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I respect the world they created. I feel a little bit bad, though, that that many people invested that much of their lives into the game when the end product is something that's kind of more similar to GTA 4, where it's, like, very realistic, but then not fun, you know?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. There's, like, so many awesome parts of the world, and it's, like, so many gorgeous vistas and stuff, but, like, at the end of the day, it's just, like, not that fun of a game. Yeah. So I don't... It's kind of like a bittersweet game, so...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hmm.
All right. Any questions about that game?
I don't. I feel like you've been super super well spoken about the about the way it shook out for you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would definitely like to play it with somebody who like really enjoys the game and see how they play it to see mm-hmm. if I could play it in a more enjoyable fashion.
Yeah. Yeah. Just watch somebody else have fun and see if there's something you're not picking up.
Yeah. But most of the ways that I've tried to like have fun with the game, like again, it feels like you're kind of working against the mechanics of the game. Like it's not really supporting you in doing it, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess maybe a silver lining. Hopefully, this gives them an amazing like game engine to make another game out of it and do like make a Red Dead Redemption 5, if that makes sense.
Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare 2.
They could do that. Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
So
cool. Is that all?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. David, how about you?
Sure. So I've mainly been playing more GTA Online.
Okay.
This is maybe going to be another one of the like David tortures himself games. because
what was a previous David tortures himself game?
I think the fact that I keep coming back to the Dead Island / Dying Light franchise.
Okay.
Would be a good example of that.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's I don't know. I've played a good deal of it this past week, but that is a game that is incredibly hostile towards the player.
Is it because of the people or the game?
Well, I would say both, in that it's because of the fact that the game takes virtually no effort to mitigate the people,
mm-hmm.
and then mm-hmm. also just the game. Like, I think a big part of it is the game is super, super pay to win. You know, you can... Yeah, I mentioned it last time, but you literally can, for the equivalent of what it would take to buy this would be, I think something like $60 worth of in-game currency, which you can earn, but you know, to buy it would be, you can basically get a flying car that fires homing missiles,
right?
And just, you know, basically, you know, there's just no equivalency between that and like what you have for the first, I don't know, I've probably played at least 10, 15 hours.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this is why Rockstar didn't make a game for like 5 or 6 years. They just made money through this.
yeah, exactly. And right. Similarly, like, you know, I've been pretty hard in terms of like actually, you know, grinding, in terms of like, you know, by which I mean, you know, actively trying to, you know, do, you know, things that make me the most money, you know, doing quests repeatedly, that sort of thing. And I just last night unlocked the ability to buy a like a office building, which now gives me the right to buy the properties I need to actually make any sort of real revenue.
So it sounds as frustrating as real life then, maybe.
yeah, basically. And, you know, that's... And it even goes more beyond that to just things like... you know, when you, if you want to, you know, drive your car to the, you know, chop shop to get it modified, you first have to pay, you know, about $200 for, usually for me, for any damage it took on the way.
Okay.
Which, I mean, like, failing pretty much any mission will reward you with about $2,000. So it's a completely irrelevant amount. So it's like, so why did you put it in? You know, similarly, you know, if once you have a, you know, purchase a car, if someone else destroys it, they have to pay the copay on your insurance. However, if your actions cause it to be destroyed, you do. It's just like, why do that? Like, why not just have it magic respawn?
I play games to escape real life problems like
this. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Hey, let's put copays into our video game. Yeah.
Right. And it's just like, it's across the board. Like, in some ways, I feel bad playing this, but in more ways, I feel like they should feel bad for making this. But it's basically boils down to, like, the game would in almost all ways be better if it was Saints Row.
Okay.
You know, just in terms of just like, hey, you know what would make this game better? If you didn't worry about most of the mechanics you put in the game. So,
I said, or if you just focus on fun things.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, so that's really frustrating. I mean, you know, there is some fun, you know, core gameplay. I respect the fact that, like, with all the expansions they've done and stuff like that, they're, you know, this is the only game like this I've played where, you know, it seems like virtually any car you want, you can find like an in-game equivalent.
Any real life car you want, you can.
Right, exactly. So like I've seen, there's like a Tesla Roadster, there's a Mini Cooper,
can
DeLoreans.
You get a PT Cruiser?
yep, PT Cruisers, like. Converted.
It would be amazing if you drive around and everyone just punches each other as you go past.
Yeah. Converted. Converted. You know, Volkswagen Beetle, Dune buggies, just all sorts of things. And then there's also crazy things like and quite possibly the most convoluted parody of SpaceX I've ever seen. You can get a Tesla Roadster with a rocket attached to the back. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, man, you put so much effort into it. Imagine if you had made this game fun.
Yeah.
So, sounds like we have the same review for our games this week.
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, that's just really unfortunate. I mean, you know, there is still, you know, something, you know, some fun to be had in terms of, you know, just the moment to moment, like running around criming things is kind of cool.
criming things.
And, yeah. And I do respect that, you know, they, in the race modes, they've pretty much embraced just the craziness. And since you get whatever car is like tailor-made for that race mode, that bypasses some of the pay to win. So, for example, there's a whole series of race modes that use, I forget what it's called, something like the, you know, the Dominator 2000 or something like that. They all have dumb names, but it's basically Kit from Knight Rider.
Okay.
And so you the car has a like rocket booster, like limited hover mode, and a like reusable parachute that you have to use to like navigate along this race. Similarly, there's a series of like jetpack races where the jetpack seems to be purpose designed to just be incredibly awkward to fly.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like there are good ideas in here, but man, it is so much just, you know, basically the target market is like douche kids with their parents' credit card. Like,
yeah.
It's a lucrative market, to be fair.
Yeah, true.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it totally is. So yeah, I mentioned last time, like I feel like they've kind of fallen out of what I would consider to say you could really classify it as satire, just because it seems like it's very much just we're going to make fun make light of literally everything and. Therefore, will innately make something that's topical.
Right, right. Machine gun effect. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Although the one that I do think still lands is that I believe the most expensive. So the way you buy in-game currency with real money is by buying shark cards.
Okay.
What are called shark cards? And the most expensive one is called the whale shark. It's like, all right, that one was good.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. But yeah, so we'll see, yeah, we'll see.
Nice. And is that everything?
Yeah, that's everything. Fortnite's going over to its, Christmas, Christmas event, but it hasn't really kicked off yet, so I will likely speak about that a great deal next week, mm-hmm. but not so much this week.
Okay.
You mean in 3 weeks from now?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well,
yeah.
Cool.
Extensively on it.
Decided, are we doing a thing? Are you coming to Mansfield or are we going to Cincinnati?
So we need to talk about that after when we're not in front of all these people.
What address should we meet at in time and place?
Well, it sounds like we should button it up.
Okay. Show. Buttons, I mean. I remember how this is done.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of The Level, and thank you so much for making it a wonderful year. Please have a very fun and safe holiday, whether you celebrate or not. Just enjoy yourselves while we're away these next 2 weeks, and we'll be back in 2019 with more fun stuff. Otherwise, there's the usual kind of stuff you can do, Patreon, and participate in the multiplayers, facebook.com/thelevelpodcast, and yeah, just tell your friends and things like that, all the usual things. Am I forgetting anything?
Sounds good to me.
All
have
right.
Have a merry, merry Christmas and holiday season.
Yeah. Yep. So I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at GreenLaser73 on Twitch.
I've been sick, but I am now just David Moneysmith.
When you're sick, you cease to be David Moneysmith. I've been Ben Merkel at MerkelB on Twitch.
Yeah. And stick around for some titles. Right. Who has some titles for me?
I got two.
I had one.
Okay. Ben?
I got Backdoor Secret Sailor Moon.
Oh, no.
And I got Criming Things.
I like Criming Things. David?
I got As Long As There's a D.
Man, what's with these horny titles?
Yeah, right. I've got 10 duck-sized Kirby's. and then hard stopped by ginseng.
Okay, I have Pipe Push Paradise Triple X. not something that was said, but you know, I just liked that joke an awful lot. I wrote narcissistically. I wrote down something I said: a bear surprise experience.
Nice.
Yeah. I like criming things a lot.
Yeah, I'm wholeheartedly behind criming things.
I can support this.
Okie doke.